Let me put the nail in this coffin real tight. God hates a coward. God hates a coward. 21 and 8 says, but the cowardly and the unbelievers, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. God wrote that, I didn't. Who leads the list of that ragtag mob? The cowardly.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I wanted to talk about this whole Jay-Z and Sean Combs thing for a little bit. If any of you have saw the post on Twitter with me and Jason Whitlock and also me talking about it on Instagram, if you don't have either or on social media, I'll really retell the story because a lot of what I said was cut out of Jason Whitlock's interview, which I understand because I know him. I've known him since I was in Kansas City. That's where he was as a sports writer. He's with the Kansas City Chiefs. At the same time I was there, he used to get on me all the time. Rightfully so, because I was acting like a dumbass. I was acting like a jackass out there. So after growing, you understood his angle. And now when he brings me on his show, I know I say some things that are a little bit too deep for his show because he wants to keep his show. That's how he makes money. And I don't really have no filter when it comes to the truth. So a lot of this stuff was cut out. So I'll retell the story. There was a time, I don't think it was 06. It may have been like 07, 08. And it was for a Rockaware photo shoot. And we happened to be on site. And the on-site location was Colorado up in the mountains because they wanted to do the whole snow and winter vibe. So Jay had rented this big mansion on the hill. And after the photo shoot, you have a rap party. And so we went to the rap party. But I was watching a basketball game with them. So it was me, the assistant that I had, Jay, B, and Freeway. We were all just sitting around watching. At that time, LeBron was on TV. So after the game was over, all of a sudden people started showing up. His assistants started showing up. Different people of the company started to show up. And out of nowhere, after we had just started drinking, dancing, and all that, out of nowhere, these kids coming out of the woodworks. I mean, I can't really say the number, but it was more than three kids. I could say that. Now, these kids may have been models for the Rockaware Kids ad, but it was 11 o'clock at night. Why would these kids need to be around? I mean, we all drinking alcohol and dancing. There is nothing appropriate that's about to go on after those hours. So I was drinking and dancing and having a good time. And I happened to sit down because the liquor was making me feel some type of way. But I knew that there was a girl between me and Beyonce. And she had shown this little girl something and said, was it sexy? And I think, why would she say that? And I was almost like low-key cringed and embarrassed that I didn't even want to draw any attention to it. But I heard what I heard. I said, why would she ask this child, is it sexy? Or was it sexy? Like, what was she even showing her? My eyes were just fixed like a horse with blinders on. I didn't even want to pay attention to what she was directing this little girl's attention with. But it was a light-skinned black girl. I know her hair was in like a bun or a ponytail. And I just thought it was weird. So then I left the party early. I said bye to Jay, and I left because I was way too twisted. But those kids remained there. I don't know how long those kids remained there, but they were there. But when I said bye to Jay, he was off in the corner by the door. Like, he was standing off to the side. He wasn't even engaging to where we were. He was off to the corner by the side by the door. I'm like, so odd that he would just be in the corner. But I didn't even take in account if they even had cameras in that room or cameras in the house. So mind you, may I say, if I entertained what was going on between them and I was lit and I wanted to take things further, I would be on tape. They would have had me. I would have ended up joining Freemasonry because at that time I would have been so ashamed if I actually got caught up in something or blackmail, because that's what they do. They blackmail people into submission. They blackmail you into Freemasonry. They blackmail you into doing ritualistic sacrifices and offerings to Lucifer. That's how they get down. It's just by the grace of the Most High, who has written my plan allow me to see all these organizations, allow me to be in all these people's spaces, but never ever partaking of their fruit. Now, when I was away from football, I did my own ritualizing of myself. I mean, I already talked about it on the show, but I ain't talking about it no more. But I already ritualized my own self. I didn't need Freemasonry. I ritualized my own self into foolishness and sin. So it would be no point for me to join anything because I was doing it to myself anyway, out of depression, anxiety, and not knowing what to do with my life. But the Most High saved me from these people because now he shown me or manifested in me like the people that you've seen, the places that I put you, I wanted you to see all this. Because when I put you to work, now you have credibility because I put you in these places. Now you have credibility because I'm showing other people as for your testimony, what it takes for you to leave these spaces. And what the work I'm doing now is a direct relation to his grace and long suffering over me. I couldn't see myself just going through all that and just stepping away into the quiet dark and, you know, saying, oh, I love Yahuwah. I love Yahusha. I'm obedient and not really doing or talking against places that I've been and spaces that I've been associated with, especially with these people. So it's a funny time for me because I know this is going to go on and on and on. But I know in my heart, nothing is going to happen to these people. I've always said that, just like nothing's ever happened to R. Kelly. We just assume he's in jail, but we never know any updates or any people who are in jail with him that said, hey, I seen R. Kelly. You haven't heard anything. Especially when black men have shown to have cell phones in jail cells nowadays. And you trying to tell me they don't know nothing about what R. Kelly's doing in his jail cell? I know that a man passes semen to another woman in a female prison and she got pregnant. They can tell me this, but they can't tell me what R. Kelly been doing this whole time. The same thing with Ghislaine Maxwell. There's no way in the world you could believe that this woman's in prison. Especially with the stuff that she knows on all politicians. Why would she ever spend a day in prison unless they want you to believe she's there? There's no way in the world. Especially what she knows coming from her father, what she knows coming from Epstein. She herself would never do a day in jail. She never even snitched on anybody. She could have easily gone into a witness protection program, but they never even offered that to her. They just showed like, oh, she's sitting in jail. She's, you know, oh, she got a black eye for, you know, she doesn't like it there because of the service, blah, blah, blah. They want you to believe that. But you have not heard anything since her supposed captivity. So I don't believe that Sean Combs is locked up either. When they want people to go through another, you know, step in the old Freemason ladder, they take them to the side, put them in the dark and make them go through all certain things or just set them down to the side and do nothing with them. Just say, hey, we're going to bring you back out in 2 or 3, 4 years. You never know. But when it comes to Freemasonry, when it comes to witchcraft, you know they use the equinoxes, the solstices, the position of the moon, the zodiacs, numerology. You know that. That part you do know. So I just thought it was interesting that it's going to be a full moon this month. And the moon is what they call is going to be in Gemini, which is the twin. This story came out December 8th. Okay, so 6 or 7 days till full moon. 7 being the 7th letter of the alphabet is G for Freemason. And we know Gemini, like I said before, is the twin. You got Sean Carter and you got Sean Combs. They got the same initials. Their first names are the same, just spelled differently. So there's a reason why they brought that out at this point. And it's also funny why they brought out the 2000 MTV Awards. Why not bring it out any other time? Like when they were actually popping in the early 98s. Why wait till 2000? Because that was the time J-Lo was dating Diddy after that gun incident in 1999. Aaliyah was there before she was sacrificed on August 25th, which is 8 plus 25 is 33. So that was a Masonic hit. So her plane going down. And the tail number, if you do your due diligence with Gematria, it'll add up to 111 in, I think, satanic or reverse satanic cipher. That connects to 9/11 because 9/11, 2001, a month before she died, 9/11, 2001, it leaves you with 111 days in the year. So that was a predictive programming thing. So it all runs together. And also Destiny Child was there at the MTV Awards in 2000. So they just setting the field. They setting the spell on you. That the next 9/11 that's coming, they just preparing you for where it could be by just using two rappers and an incident that happened between them that we don't know. Maybe they did it, maybe they didn't do it. But at the same time, I know they have something with dating underage girls that you do know. Now, did they rape them? I don't know. But it's kind of odd for me that they would have a driver pick up a 13-year-old to bring them to an after party for the MTV after party. Like, where is this girl's parents? Was she a runaway? Like, where did they find this girl? And did she not know what she was going to end up doing? She took a drink, or did they spike the drink? Maybe. Usually that's how it goes down. Because if you remember, Jay was wearing the do what thou wilt sweatshirt with the shades on. And we know that slogan, that quote, is from Aleister Crowley. We also know Aleister Crowley used to perform sex rituals on children. He would drug them and he would molest them or sexually assault them. And he would make a book about it called Sex Magic. Magic with a K on the end, because he wanted his followers to differentiate from traditional magic to his type of magic. So if you follow the doctrine of Aleister Crowley, then yes, that's what you do. You somehow drug and molest children for some weakened demonic power or fountain of youth. But it's sadistic. So you don't really need proof if he did or did not. You just know that's the doctrine that they follow. And they search for children. They search for people who want to be in that space, who choose to be in that space. And that's what happens. They walk into the lion's den, uncovered, wanting to be famous. That Hollywood is a powerful drug, a powerful sedative. And then people get shocked and appalled when things happen to them, or they are put in situations that they didn't believe that could be ever be put in, trying to chase fame. So that was my little story about that situation. I want to move on to what we were talking about in the episode before this last one on Wednesday. Because I actually read the comment section. Actually, the comment section has been booming. I'm actually proud of you guys in the comment section. We're not really strifing or arguing. We're actually uplifting and actually exposing things that we need to see with our own eyes. I know one brother said that we are under attack in the Sight to the Blind community. In the truthful entity community, we're kind of going, I feel it. I feel we're under some type of spiritual attack. I think it's just a wave that we have to, you know, endure until it's over. And we know it's just a short wave. It never lasts forever. But to our souls, our spirits, it feels like forever. But it'll pass. And I'm glad that brother pointed that out. That really, for me, calmed me. Because I sometimes forget that once you go at these demons or these spiritual principalities for a long period of time, eventually they'll group up on you to try to take down your blessing, because they must know your blessing's coming. Like I said, if you read the Testament of Solomon, it talks about a powerful demon called Ornias, and how demons fly about the sky listening to the heavenly beings. So they listening to what the angels have to do, the conversation the angels have concerning us. So they hear it for a little bit. And of course, when they hear it, they are conjured by our enemies to go against us. So if they hear, oh, they got to be blessed, or we have to set these stumbling blocks aside because Yahuwah wants this person to be blessed at this time. We have to prepare him. And they hear him like, oh, no. We don't want that. So that's probably the wave that we're feeling. We're feeling like there's a spiritual attack on us because our blessings or our individual blessings are coming in this ordained time because we have been obedient or we have been steadfast in the Ruach. But this particular comment stood out to me also regarding the episode, Who's the Boss? This person said, I think what's asked of people at work most of the time is straightforward and logical. In a relationship, it can be emotional and confusing at times. Although it may seem your partner respects the boss more, the fact is that it's just easier to follow their rules. At home, we have to involve emotions, mentality, physicality, logic, plus our spirit in God. Respect is still there, but there is also a higher bar to meet. Now, that all depends on your partner, does it not? If you are a partner that only talks with words and no actions, then how are you at work? When your boss gives you words, he expects what? Action. Do you tell your boss words and words only? Now, I'm pretty sure that if you have a partner that's walking in the spirit, regardless of what age of the Ruach that they're in, either they be babes, teenagers, or young adults in the word, they do follow the same Elohim, do we not? We know the foundation of law regarding our marriages or relationships, do we not? So we are not going to ask our significant other to go to New York and try to jump over the Empire State Building to prove their love for us. We're not that simple-minded. I mean, we're not that narcissistic, or we're not that demanding and illogical. I'm pretty sure a woman is not going to ask her man, can you go run to Dubai and bring me back this specific type of milk I love or honey I like and come back? And if you don't do this task, you don't love me. I'm pretty sure none of us are doing that. Some of us ask for the very small, basic things that is even mentioned in scripture. Let me go one. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I'll read that again. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it got to be some action behind these words. It can't just be words only. So if a boss tell you, I need this paper done and I need this paper done this way, and he tells you or lays out the project that he has for you, you do it as it's intended to be done. Now, most projects or some projects could be hard. He may give you an impossible task because he knows that you have the ability to pull through for him. If a husband asks you something and it to you may seem hard or illogical, why do you not try to prove to him that you have the ability to accomplish this task? Because he has faith in you. He's not asking you of something that he knows that you cannot do. She's not asking something of you that you cannot perform. He asked you of this because they know that you can pull through and do it. Do any of you ask your significant others to perform a task you know they can't do? No. But certain situations happen where you would like a little reverence, a little respect, a little exalting, a little praise. That's it. That's not that hard. The only thing that makes it a conflict is because emotions are involved. But at work, emotions are not involved. So how can you have more respect or show more respect to somebody you have no emotional tie to than the person that you are truly in love with? I feel like it should be the opposite. I feel like you would really obey somebody you love rather than you obey somebody just for a check. Do we not obey Yahuwah because we love him and we do and guard his commandments? Didn't he not say that if you love me, you guard my commandments? And to say that we love him only through mouth and no deeds and not serving him in truth, do we actually love him? That's what he's saying. If you love me, do it. Don't talk about it. You don't love your boss, but you do what he's told. You do what you're told. But if you love me, why do you not do what you're told? Matter of fact, not even telling you, why don't you do what I ask for? What's complicating it? The emotions are coming because you're like, I don't look at this man. This man is not writing me a check. He's not going to give me a promotion. If I do this for him, he's going to want something else, then something else, then something else, and then something else. But some people think that way. That if I do something, I'm going to be looked at as a pushover. And that's just projecting what comes from the workplace. Because most people have been in work situations where they've exerted themselves and haven't gotten their due diligence or their due praise. That's what they're searching for more. Because they're getting paid to do a job and they want to do this job perfect so they can get promoted. See, when you're under the house and the head hold, if under the headship of Yah, what is there to offer you except husband and wife? You can only be exalted to mother or father. Why is it that in modern day people want more? Why can't you be satisfied with where you're at? That there is honor in being a husband, wife, mother, father, a teacher. That's the main issue. That's why all that emotion and physicality is involved. Because you want to excel past the household. You want to excel past headship. The reason why the orders at work seem straight away is because you know there's an advancement. That you know from entry level, you can go into manager. And from manager, you can go into general manager. General manager, you can go into vice president. Vice president, you can go into to be the president. Then you could be the CEO. Then you can do your own thing. See, it's always places of advancement. And the further you go in work, the more your personal life is going to, especially if you're following law, statutes, commandments, the more your personal life is going to end up and your spiritual life is going to end up in shambles. You cannot serve two masters. You can't. Because why are you giving your energy over to something that you want to be honored and praised for? Something is going to be lacking underneath your household. So you're going to start resenting your partner because now you have to choose between advancement at work and being the same entry-level position that Yah has for you. I mean, it's tough. You got to know the person you fell in love with. You got to know the person that you're with. Like I said, this walk is not for everybody. And this walk is not a sprint. Even though time is moving like a sprint, this walk is not a sprint. Because most of it depends on our ego. It depends on our pride. Which is just the matters of the flesh. Because we don't see the true purpose. We don't see the walk 10, 20 miles down the line when we operate in ego and pride. We see a mile in front of us each time. We only see what we want to see in front of us. and not the bigger picture. Because in serving our partner and doing what they want us to do, we then get blessed, especially for a man that is in a position of providing and being a caregiver. If I bless you, you praise me. It makes me want to bless you more. If I praise and bless Yahuwah, he's going to bless me. I'm going to make sure I bless and praise him more because he's blessing me. And those blessings and praises follow down into my household, to my woman, to my child. That's how it operates. It should be from the bottom up, from the up down to the bottom. It should be that connection, that spiritual energy moving up and down, all around and through us, for us to be a successful household. That means I have to humble down at times, pick my battles. It should be the same way in your household. You look at the bigger picture. And especially in a household when Yahusha has shown you through one of his immaculate miracles that what you do in your household affects your children or the children you want to bring into this world. If you continually operate in pride, ego, pettiness, it's going to funnel down. Disobedience, it's going to funnel down into your child. If you go to Mark 2, verse 4 through 6. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Yahusha saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, your sins be forgiven you. Son, your sins be forgiven you. Now, if this man, this son, this boy was let down in the roof by his family because he was sick with palsy, Yahusha didn't heal him by laying hands on him as if he was just a person sick from birth. Yahusha showing me that through the father or the mother's sin, and like it said in scripture, I will not pardon the sins of the father until they have reached unto the generation, 4th to 5th generation of the sons and daughters. So it was something in the parents' bloodline, in the parents' behavior or disobedience of not following the way or the truth, it affected their son with the devil, with an illness, which maybe that son, maybe he had been healthy before and all of a sudden he got sick. This was based on his household where he resided, full of either sin, idolatry, and disobedience. The things that would what? Bring unclean ruach into your household to choke the word, to choke your bloodline. So that's why he said, your sins be forgiven you, to be healed of a plague over his body. That means his sins and the sins of his parents were making the child sick. So when you meet whoever you decide to marry, you need to have this conversation with them. Look, we need to heal our toxic behaviors, our disobedience to Yah. If we do not, our sins are going to funnel its way down into our children, and we don't know what those sins will look like. Because obviously, it could make you blind. It could be leprosy. It could be a skin affliction. It could be a muscle or bone affliction. Whatever these spirits that have latched onto your bloodline and has followed your bloodline, knowing when to pounce to mangle your seed, that is what it will be. And the only ones that can stop it is you. Especially if you are a man. If you suffer from alcoholism, if you suffer from overuse of marijuana, I'm telling you, you're going to choke the seed. You're going to choke the bloodline Because those spirits, those unclean woolcocks that have been sitting around watching your bloodline and watching the generations of you, your grandfathers before them, sitting there watching and knowing when to come out to mangle you because of your sins and disobedience. Shoot, I know Yahushua would have been a problem if we had the same, if they had the same type of health insurance carriers and issues and problems as we have today. I know it would have made Yahushua would have been crucified, not by Judas Iscariot. He would have been crucified by the CDC and all the health insurance and conglomerates would have been pissed at Yahushua. Because in Mark 5, he talks about a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Don't we hear this today with our relatives or the people that we know that have to go through or depend on the Affordable Care Act or whatever insurance carrier that they have, that no matter how many physicians that they see, they're just getting strung along, just, you know, milking them with all their payments, their copay, so they can't pay copay for nothing anymore, that their insurance carriers drop them and they got to pay out of pocket and still be sick and the matter's still getting worse. This sounds like that. When she had heard of Yahushua, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And of course, Yahushua said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? And the disciples said, well, all these people that's fallen and pressing upon us, you want to ask us who's touching you? We wouldn't know. But then she fell down and groveled and said, I was the one that did it. And that's when he blessed her. And she's like, was exceedingly surprised of her faith, and the rest of this history. But imagine how much we could heal ourselves from sickness and plague and health insurance carriers that exploit us, that don't care about us, that if we just prayed and be obedient to the Most High, that he will heal our sickness. He will heal our plague. He will heal our bloodline. That's the fastest way to clean up generational trauma, generational illnesses, generational sickness, is to depend on Yahuwah, to be obedient to him, not by word, but by in deed and in truth. How is that difficult or illogical? The Most High asked of us very simple things. Passover, New Moon festivals, the feast days, the Shabbat. How easy it is it to do these things? Who makes it hard? We make it hard. Our relation to this world, this country, our jobs, our personal life, we make it hard. He has said, my laws, my Torah, my commandments are not grievous for you. He didn't make these laws, statutes, commandments hard to follow. And when you talk about law, statutes, commandments with some people, the first thing they say is, oh, you're going to really follow all 300, I don't know what they say, it was like 600 or 316 laws or something like that. And not understanding that most of those laws at that time was for Levitical priests. And of course, also when they didn't know how to clean and bathe themselves for certain skin afflictions. Because obviously we have the benefit of hospitals and penicillin and injections and medicines that they didn't have back then. So what they had to do is separate themselves in order to be clean from amongst the group. So it's not easy that when you have a significant other following the law, statutes, commandments, that anything they ask for is going to be very minimal compared to what you think they're going to ask you because you compare it to your work life. Work can be demanding. Sometimes they ask you to go overtime Are you going to complain? Are you going to say that's illogical? Are you not going to have any emotion about it? If they deny you overtime pay, doesn't that trigger you an emotion? I know some of you get ready to get would get physical over getting overtime pay denied. But it's just all relative to how you see this work life or how you see your relationship life. And you would have to rely on scripture. Not with Joe Mo said on a TikTok rant or what Sally Mae said in an Instagram post. But look at the images in scripture. You think women didn't work in scripture? Did they not have to glean fields? Didn't they not have to cook and clean? But they still reverenced their men. And the men still gave honor to his weaker vessel. Now, we just don't see, you know, the color commentary with each relationship. I mean, we only know that Abraham and Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him Adonai. Saying that I know this man is going to cover me and protect me, and that's all I'm required to be for him, is a caregiver, somebody who's with him, a helpmeet. And he has provided and protected me. And him doing so, he's blessed by Yahuwah. So if anything that's too big for him, he goes to Yahuwah on our behalf. I mean, even Sarah, when she was taken, prayed. Even Abraham, when Sarah was taken from him, he prayed. And the Most High covered them both. Now, when you do things that's separate or contrary to the word or contrary to natural order, of course, strife is going to come up. There's going to be resentment. There's going to be issues that arise. And that's because we have not been in the word longer than we have been alive. We have not been in the word longer than we have been alive. So we're still purging ourselves from a worldly mentality, especially when it comes to relationships. And the enemy knows this. The enemy has been attacking marriages since the beginning. Sarah, because she relied on the news of a stranger, which was Satan in disguise, believed that her son was dead. And then when he came back and said, oh, I lied, he's alive, she had a heart attack and died. That's why Paul says, you would do good as daughters of Sarah, in which you are, as long as you do good without any amazement. Why would Paul say that? Without any amazement. Because he knew that Sarah died from shock after listening to a stranger, listening to the enemy. That she should believe that Abraham and Yitzchak wasn't going up to that mountain for only one of them to come back. She should have believed. She should have waited and not do what women do today, jump to conclusions. Not listening to somebody who has no foundation or even attachment to the story or to the people. Why would she listen to somebody who don't even know Abraham or Yitzchak? But she did. And with amazement, she died of shock. Because she found out that Yitzchak was in fact alive, that he was spared. So, I mean, I get you guys' points. I truly do. But I like hearing stories of men and women giving their significant others praise in public. I love it. I love it. I love seeing it. Even those who are not following the way, I love seeing it on social media pages. of men and women exalting each other. Because it needs to be. It needs to be examples of that now. It's too much of, I don't like my baby daddy. I don't like my baby mama. I'm going to sleep with your baby daddy. I'm going to sleep with your baby mama. I'm going to go fight this dude for you. I'm going to fight that girl for you. It's too much of that. I like the fact that you guys in the comment section talking about what your husband or what your wife does. It lets me know it could be, it's possible that what we're dealing with in our own respective houses is just ruachs. Ruachs in this world. That's what's choking our understanding of things. That is what's choking our ability to do what's right in Yah's eyes. By doing what's right in Yah's eyes, we should excel and be promoted and exalted in due time. I'd rather sit here on this computer and on social media praising and doing my due diligence off social media without even having to leave my house and be promoted and exalted by him, rather than go out there and slave and perform dead works to a system that will never truly benefit me in the long run, especially when Yah is going to destroy all of it. I'd rather give honor and praises to living works so I'm blessed, rather than give praise and honor to dead works. You have to think about that as an individual. See past just, oh, I'm looking for advancement in my job. I'm looking for more money, more zeros or numbers to my check. I'm looking for more respect at the workplace. Why not do it the other way, towards living works, where you could be blessed exceedingly? You don't need to ask for dental or medical at your job, because we have somebody that heals plagues, sicknesses, and he don't charge. We don't need a copay. We don't need Medicaid or Medicare. We don't need the Affordable Care Act. He doesn't care about our existent illnesses. He does not care that we're maimed or lamed over time. He cares more that we seek him. By seeking him, he knows that he'd be able to purge us of what's ailing us. And on the flip side, also, there's Paul, who he asked the Most High, can you please get rid of this thorn in my side, this ailment I have? And that's when Yah said, nope, because your pain is sufficient for you to be a testimony for me. Like, the example I want you to set, I need you to be this type of person. I need you to have this type of ailment in order for my testimony with you to be substantial. Paul needs to be humbled because he had humbled others through their flesh. Throwing people in the prison houses, you know, putting hands on them. So the Most High put hands on him, but gave him grace and long suffering in order for him to do his work. We all have different paths and different, you know, blocks in front of us that the Most High is going to remove, and certain things he wants us to go through to see his true magnificence and long-suffering and mercy with us. But we all are walking towards the same light. We're all coming from the same shadows. We may be at different levels. We may be at different speeds. We may be on different terrain, but we still going in the same direction. I want y'all to remember that. We are still going to the same direction. So whatever your story is, and whatever his story is, her story is, let it be shared, let it be known, so we all know that we are all in this together. I'll see y'all next time.